You're listening to Around Comics, episode 227, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Shiguri Death Frenzy, and Netflix. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, drop on by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's panel. As always, we have Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm going to take this moment now to adjust my mic. All right. It's just like slowly
drifting down.
It's not good for my posture to have this going on. Tighten that up for me.
There you go. A little of that on there.
Where's the technical crew to help me with this
key
sort
grip,
of stuff?
Key grip.
We need
the key grip.
I am ready.
Okay. Well, our key grip is Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
Hello there, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here today.
I know, and a big reason for that is our special guest this week, returning guest from one of our most popular recent episodes, Mr. Sal Abernathy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be here, guys.
People thought you were a hoot.
That's nice to hear. I told you before, anytime you guys want me, just holler. Right. My wife's glad to get me out of the house, so, you know.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Was the drive down easier this time?
It wasn't bad. It was okay. We had a big accident on 290, but there's always some hillbilly.
Well, that's called Friday.
Well, it's a hillbilly with a mantis is usually what, you know, it takes hours out of my life on 290.
And one of my favorite stories I've ever read online about a highway accident was in Green Bay. A pig got loose on the highway.
Yeah, of course. As will happen in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And now you mean like ex-girlfriend type pig or
not? Bacon pig.
Oh, okay, even better.
So this story used to be on the AP Wire, and I used to read it every time I wanted to laugh. Is at one point in the story, the cops try and taser the pig and it doesn't work. They say a man pulled over claiming that he was a former pig farmer and he tried to tackle the pig and then the guy left. Dude just showed up and was like, I'm a former pig farmer.
I'm a professional. Stand back.
I can handle it.
I got this shit.
But you see, any story you start with, it's in Green Bay and there's a pig.
Usually those two
are synonymous. Yeah. It's whether it's a female or, but just the fact that it's in Wisconsin is enough.
Listen, you know. I'm from Green Bay, but there's a reason why I live in Chicago.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's nice to go back for 12 to 14 hours.
Fish fries to visit occasionally. Yes. I feel the same way about Southern Illinois. Before we get too far off track here, I want to remind everyone that this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Pay the bills.
Yes, sir. And InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collect editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And right now, Tom's hand-selected book club pick, The Adventures of Luther Arkwright. I actually got an email from Cameron over at InStock Trades this week.
Yeah.
And he said, that book is so good, I'm going to raise the discount to 45% off the cover price.
Jesus. Wow.
So pretty soon they'll just give us money to order.
Just give it away.
Right.
He lost his mind? $10. I ordered a book.
He said, I'm feeling crazy today.
We're going to find out that guy who tried to tackle the pig was Cameron. He's lost his mind. Yeah. Well,
so you can pick up.
You drink enough. Look, start to get cute, those pigs.
You can pick up The Adventures of Luther Arkwright for only $10.42. And I have it.
That's cheap.
It is cheap. And it's a dense book. I've actually got it packed in my bag. I'm leaving for The Adventures of Luther Arkwright by Brian Talbot.
Okay.
It's crazier than Grant Morrison kind of crazy.
Oh, okay.
Do you think Brian Talbot's ever shit himself on a plane though?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I bet he did something even weirder.
I never met
He Brian shit somebody Talbot. Else's pants on a plane.
Hey,
He just blew my mind.
Hey, thank you. Well, I'm taking it on a plane tomorrow. I'm heading off to Mexico.
Really? Not that he's bragging.
No. Yeah.
He's going
I've been living with this because we work together. I've been hearing about Mexico every day.
What part of Mexico?
For 2 weeks now.
Oh, Acapulco's nice.
Yep. Try not to get kidnapped or shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or both.
Be careful of water, too.
Yeah, don't drink the water, don't get kidnapped, and don't get caught in a drug war. That's my guess.
No glory hole places under $10.
There's a nice...
That's the breaking point, $10.
Yes, $10, because you don't know
the classy joints are at least 12.
That's it, because you got to... It's not a mouth, probably, they're using. It's something else.
There's like a small...
Mayonnaise jar with liver in it or something. I don't know.
It's called Mexican
It's warm oil. Liver. It's warm liver. Yeah. They don't... You know, the shittier places use the cold liver. But
it's those stories where people wake up in bathtubs with the... Bathtubs filled with ice, and someone stole like their kidney. It's really for a Mexican glory hole.
Well, you don't need it. You don't need kidneys in Mexico.
You gotta earn a living, man. The people gotta.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this more and more all the time.
Yeah, enjoy
yourself.
How long
are you going? How long are you gonna be there?
Leaving tomorrow, coming back late Wednesday. So it's up for 4 days or so.
And you're gonna do the whole Band of Soleil thing with the tanning cream and all that, or just
done?
Are you going to buy blankets, or how does that? Why do guys go? Hey, let's go to Mexico. I want to buy some cheap blankets.
Some I'm like, nice horse blankets.
Don't you have any blankets where you? Like, can I buy you a blanket?
They're
can
nice.
We stay here tonight?
No. This is a 36 year old white man trip to Mexico.
Sit on the beach.
Beautiful.
He's been telling me about the books that he's bringing over, and it's just like comic books,
fish tacos,
and books. And
get the fish tacos on the beach.
Been listening to Mexico.
I'm gonna read Adventures of Luther Arkwright and The Wife and Times of Scrooge McDuck. Those are my two big goals.
You're not gonna talk to your wife at all.
Right? This is no swimming. You're bringing your wife?
My wife is bringing me.
Okay.
So that's how it works.
I can't bring my wife. I bring my wife on trips, but not con trips, because we wind up. There's no time, you know, with cons.
What's the point? Yeah, she's out running.
Yeah, you know, it becomes a whole, you know, it's either you're into comics or you're not, and I'm not going to apologize for it. When you're at a con, you bring a wife, it's not a good idea.
Sure. Well, speaking of, you're going to one of our absolute favorite cons next week. It's
Emerald. Yeah.
Emerald City Comic Con. You're gonna be out in Seattle. Have you done that show before?
I did it a couple years ago when it was out by what's the park that the Mariners play in?
Safeco.
Safeco Field.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of hobos that walk around and want to borrow money in Seattle.
It's downtown now. Beautiful convention.
Oh yeah,
center.
No, it's a great and the guest list is nice and it's tremendous, a bunch of names. And the guys that run it, you know,
Jim DeMonakis.
Jim couldn't be a nicer guy and
he's the best.
And so I love it because Seattle's a great town. I mean, last time I went with my wife, we had a good time. Went up to the Sky Needle or the
Space Needle.
It's a great town.
I loved it there. That was the first time I had been there.
Good
it was
time.
Last year, and I had a blast.
We lots
a
of hills.
Tom had some problems.
It's a very
getting
hilly
into bars.
It's a very hilly town. Little Italy's great. It's one restaurant.
What was the? I'm not kidding. It's one restaurant. You know, it's like Little Italy.
Do they always call it the hill in the Italian parts of town?
I think so.
That's in St. Louis. The hill.
Oh, okay.
Great Italian restaurants. Canetto's, if you're ever in St. Louis.
Do you think there's any good Italian places in Mexico?
I probably.
Maybe. When I was in Italy, I actually asked the concierge, hey, where's Little Italy in Rome? And he didn't get the joke at all. He was like, what? I don't understand. I go, I'm just looking for the part of Rome where it's Little Italy. And he goes, no, sir, we don't have Little Italy here.
It's a big Italy.
I'm like, take it easy, you know?
Were you wearing a cowboy hat?
Yeah, calm down. You know, go fix your Fiat and leave me alone. You know, he was pissed because you know
what was
Ricardo
the deal
Montalban's not
with my
TV
ID.
Anymore.
Yeah, Tom had this bar that just
would not let me because the hologram on my driver's license was like Seattle? Rubbed off.
Well, you had a fucking Wisconsin driver's license, number one.
Sorry.
Why the fuck did you have a Wisconsin driver's license?
It's still the driver's license I have. I'm switching it
this year.
Now, this
is in Seattle they wouldn't let you in? Or here?
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, look at me.
Is there any question that
going in with Ron Richards, you know? There are two guys that look like more like 30-year-old guys looking to drink. Yeah. You know, well, they lost a lot of money because I like to drink.
Yeah. And he's not afraid to pay for it.
Yeah, I pay for it.
And you tried like three nights in a row to get into that
I
bar.
Only tried once.
Oh, okay.
But three times that night. Twice that night.
Well, there was other bars, though, so we just went to the place next
door. Seattle is a great town. Let me start out, but there's too many damn hobos. And I don't mean homeless. We've got homeless. They're just degenerates that live in the mountains. You know, these Dan Haggerty-looking assholes. They just sift down from Washington, and they're just like, hey, man, you got money? I want to buy beer. Mm-hmm. And you're like... No, and they're like, you got it. They got like $150 Air Jordans on, and they're dressed nice, and they just want money. And you're like, go to work. Oh, the man, and you know, I'm
you
like,
live
well,
in the mountains, and it rains a lot. You got to always be keep your head on a swivel for flash floods.
Yeah, but then that's why you get in the moonshine then. I mean, it's like
truck and moonshine gets washed away. That
No, we're walking in, and I'm talking downtown Seattle. They come up and they, hey guy, how are you? How you doing, buddy? And you're like, so you think the guy's making a conversation, and he wants money.
Well, it was we have noticed a higher class of homeless on the West Coast. Was it someone that threw bottled water at you?
A guy threw a bottle of water at me.
I didn't ask
me for anything.
When I used to work in New York, you got a different class of hobo too, because I was, and now I'm not homeless. Now there's hobo. We used to have hobos when I was growing up, which was just like the guy in Andy Griffith who just drank a lot,
lived by the train tracks,
sat on the corner. He didn't want to go to work. He was fine. You know,
would have been where Chris would have fit in.
When I used to get out of the bar. I was coming out of a bar with a friend of mine, and somebody left their smokes, and I don't smoke, and so I took the cigarettes with me. It was like a full pack. So I'm walking down the street, I see a homeless guy, and I hand him to him. I go, hey, man, you got a pack of smokes? And he hands it back to me. He said, no, man, they're menthol. You're a homeless guy, and you're giving me. And I'm like, so far, I was like, all right, whatever.
You know, in his defense, I wouldn't take a free pack of.
Yeah, but.
And I smoke.
Yeah, but this guy's wiping his ass with his bare hand, you know, and shitting on newspaper and, you know, eating a dead
pigeon. He's got standards. He's got standards, Sal. Come on.
You know, he'll smoke a chicken bone if you give it to him. But all of a sudden, he's giving me a hard time, you know?
He'll roll up a.
Eating dead pigeons. I notice a lot of like strangely killed pigeons on the ground, like underneath overpasses near my
neighborhood. Oh no!
Just around, just weird. Just like
dead pigeons.
Like pigeons with their heads, like their neck snapped. I don't like it.
What?
It's weird. Like a pile of like four of them.
So there's some sort of like creature out there. Killing?
I'm not Vince. I don't think
I'm fucking. I was going to say, is this Cook County Jail, or are we talking just, like...
So someone is out there, you think, killing pigeons? Or
like a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch.
Oh, maybe. Well, no, so you think someone's killing them, not that they're dying of some sort of strange...
I don't think they're offing themselves.
Mid-air
it could be a
collision or something.
No, it could be a rival pigeon gang leaving a message, you know.
Stay
out of the neighborhood.
It's the Albany Park pigeons coming down to Logan Square, setting them straight.
So how many pigeons are we talking about?
Like a pile of like four.
Four dead, broken neck pigeons.
Just kind of like...
It could be old.
It's weird to see four dead pigeons in any condition all in one place.
Did they leave a note or did they just say, hey, I'm offing myself?
Well, there was a tiny bottle of whiskey near it.
Yeah, sterno? Were they sterno pigeons or regular wino pigeons?
They look like teenagers.
Yeah. Young, just sort of angsty.
Just choking game.
Well, it was the anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death, maybe.
They could have upset the pigeons. Yeah.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know.
Pigeons are on a different timetable, so I don't know.
All right.
There we go.
Are we going to talk about some comments?
I'll be serious. He edits all this stuff out anyway. You listen to the show and there's like 5 minutes of somebody farting and, you know, and somebody called somebody an asshole or, you know.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no wait fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. We had you come back just because we like your company.
Thank you.
But the other reason is that Atomica is getting a fresh start.
The relaunch, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big thing. We're in this month's preview, the April previews, we're starting the second half of the series. So it starts with issue 8 and June shipping. And this time we've actually got guaranteed ship dates. So store nice. Owners don't have to worry like, hey, this guy's going to go and...
So if you haven't read Atomica yet, right now would be a great time to get the first trade and mm-hmm. then get ready to jump on with the
second
single issues.
Half, yeah.
Okay.
And it's, you know.
Question for you, just something I was wondering about and you I'm sure would know is if you put out a book like say in Diamond and you don't hit the release date that is stated, is that book then returnable? Is that a
returnable like from the comic store or,
yeah. Cuz comics aren't returnable. From comic shops.
Well, basically, once you get your order in, like right now, Atomica 8 is in April previews.
Right.
So they'll call me up at the end of the month or at the beginning and middle of next month, and they'll give me my numbers. They'll say your orders are this.
Right.
So you don't even if your numbers are under that, you don't even ship the books to Diamond. They don't have the books in their possession yet.
Okay.
They have the numbers when they say, hey, we got orders for this many, send us the books. Or you could have your printer, what's called drop ship them. They just ship them right from the printer right to Diamond.
Okay.
So, the good question of whether to return them. I don't know. With small press guys, they don't give you the white glove treatment. They'll just call you up and say, hey, idiot, you're under $2,500.
I was just wondering. It was something I was talking to somebody about, and they asked me that question. I wasn't sure.
They're starting the process where they're even stricter with the ads. You can't even place an ad unless you meet with the guy and sit down and
right.
show him what you got. And because a lot of companies in the Liefeld way of doing it for a lot of years, which jumped up and bit everybody on the ass, was they would put an ad in, solicit it, see how the orders were. And the book hadn't even been produced, mind you. There was nothing done. Because you got 3 months from when the ad comes out to when you got to deliver.
Right.
So if the orders were high enough, then he would go produce the issue. And if they weren't, he would just say, oh, guys,
it's not coming out.
Yeah, I got raped or something. I don't want to bother with it.
The book was stolen by depressed pigeons.
That's right. Sorry. There was too much cornholing in California, and I just couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, I was measuring the penis or something, and I didn't have time. And so Diamond got sick of it, where there was these phony books being solicited just to see if the orders were going to be high enough.
Right.
And then so now you actually have to sit with your rep and, show them that you're not, Joe Shit the Rag Man, and, you got a book that's actually tangible.
I heard that was why they didn't put inkers in the solicit. It's because if in your pre-soliciting is that if they change anchors, then all of a sudden that makes that book returnable.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons why inkers and colorists aren't mentioned.
And nobody cares about it.
Sorry, Andy. It can help a little. It can help. There are a few guys. There's a half a dozen names of guys that it happened. But in the case of the Liefeld thing, it was just all about he just didn't want to have to produce the book.
Well, yeah, if it's not going to sell 300,000 copies, why? What's the point?
Your cutoff is, I would say, on the average book of a profit margin, you're talking probably about 18,000 or 19,000. Anything under that, you're not making any money. But you're breaking even because with your costs and you got to pay the ad for Diamond is a couple grand, and then you got that's if it's color.
Do those work? Do the ads in Diamond? Do those those have any sort of effect on moving the needle in sales?
Well, you got to have them. I mean, I did Atomica. Atomica's been out all this time. I've just been printing it myself and doing it at shows, bringing it to shows directly. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get in comic stores and you want comic stores to order it, unless you're going to go to them directly, which I did with some of the local Chicago guys, there's no way to get your order in unless you place an ad in Diamond, you know, in the catalog.
And that an ad being an actual ad.
An actual ad. What you're talking about is more location in the book, which is why some guys in the indie books will go with Image or try to put their ads together.
Because you wanted to get in the first half.
And you also want to get with the chance of getting. I see a lot of store owners will just tell you right out, I don't order indie books, period. Right. They just say, hey, you know, Marvel, DC, we're done, and maybe a few Image or if somebody requests some. So the problem if you're a publisher now is how the hell do I get the store owner to even give, you know, my book, you know, two seconds in that, because the catalog is 3 inches thick, for God's sake.
Not much longer.
No, yeah, well, it's just, yeah, and now they're cutting 70 pages out from all the indie ads that are going to be gone, you know. Yeah.
Do you think Haven is going to have any sort of foothold in shops, or is it going to be... Is it going to make any sort of difference? That seems to be the distribution company that's cropped up that's going to take over.
I don't know. There's been a couple over the years, you know, people that approach you that have these catalog, and God, I wish it, you know, I hope it does, and you wish it would, but for the most part, whether people want to admit it or not, Diamond's pretty much the only game in town right now. You know, they're really the only way to get your book into stores, and people will say, oh, you know, I didn't see your book, and you try to do it the other way, offer it online and do shows, but there's still no way to get it. Most, you know, you've got a huge percentage of people that never attend a con. And
when you're marketing, like when you come out with an issue or when you first came out with Atomica, did you spend most of your time trying to market the book to the end user, the reader who would buy it in the store, or the store owner who is actually doing the buying of a book?
No, I went 100% for the store owner.
Okay.
Because the fans, I knew I could deal with those.
Because the store owner is actually the person that orders the book?
Yeah, well, the problem with doing an indie book is two things. One is that guys spend so much time on prepping it and getting it ready and sweating over it, that the second thing is you got to get people to order it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most guys print the book and then go, okay, great, now I got a living room full of comics. What the hell am I going to do with them? And the reason I got big guys to do the title was I had no delusions about my work that store owners were going to see it and go, wow, this guy's like Fellini, and, you know, we got to have this in my store. And they need an ability to sell the book, you know. And so if I got Alex Ross and the other guys to do covers, I thought, hey, maybe they'll give it a shot.
Right.
Maybe they'll order 10 copies or whatever just to have it on the shelf, because there's a huge period in comics in the last 10 years where covers can't sell books.
Oh, sure.
When I was a kid, I would buy horrible books because they had great Kilcane covers and great John Romita covers. And, you know, you get it home and it's a piece of shit. You go, it's a Submariner issue from the 40s when it had a reprint, when the fucking guy had red hair. And you go, when did Submariner have red hair? You
know? No, for me,
like
for
Carrot
me
Top,
up,
you know?
Man, you put Art Adams on a cover, man, I was all over it. I'd open it up. It's like, motherfucker.
It's shit. Yes,
now it's all he
it's
does.
Shit. Everybody's like, "Oh, Sal, you know what's wrong with you? You should have did your own covers. Don't you have any? You know, I'd love to do my own covers, but I want to get the book in people's hands first.
I love the cover. I love the interior art, but the covers for Atomica. I mean, you put a lot of thought and a lot of expense into getting the guys to do the covers that you've had.
Yeah, it was just more about. I also thought it would be a cool way to give the book kind of a. You know, there's nothing cooler than taking your character and having, like, different guys give their take on it. And with the Soviet thing, I didn't really art direct as much as I just said, hey, guys, do something that looks cool. I mean, and of course, if they gave him a dog or, you know, made him, you know.
Little Atomica.
Yeah, you know, made him, you know, like he was a detective.
This is his friend Kryptonica.
Right, yeah. He was, like, working with Angie Dickinson or some bullshit. Then I would say, hey, guys, you know.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, and I've got some covers that I had to step back and say, hey, guys, you know, you got to put the bottle down and change the bong water because the cover looks like my ass. And then they were like, okay, Sal, no problem, but. For the most part, I just let guys just, hey, guys, do something cool. And you know, where's the check is all they usually ask.
Going back to dealing with comic shops, trying to get them, what would you say is, you know, the biggest problem of doing that? Dealing with comic shop owners, and what is the biggest hurdle?
You've got two types of comic shop owners. You got really cool guys. and you got total jagoffs and total. No, it's, I'm sorry.
No one in between.
No, there isn't, because there's guys like us who you could just go walk in the front door and they'll go, hey Sal, you know what? I don't sell any indie titles here. And you're like, okay, I understand. I can respect that. But you get a lot of guys that'll go, what, I don't buy that shit. And you're like, well, what do you like? And they're like, I don't know. Just DC and Marvel. That's, and it's, they could be selling fucking Storm Windows. They don't know whether, you ask them about a book and they don't know one title from the next. They're just, it's a, it's a commodity to them. Sure. But then there's other guys.
They you like what sells.
Are those guys holdovers from like the 90s when all the
there's
stores
popped up? The guy down the block here is like that.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
And Larry was like, there was a couple store owners where you went in and they were just red-assed from the minute they got up that morning about how they hated their life.
They hate comic books, hate kids.
They're not, they can't fuck Tanya Roberts in the 70s and they're pissed about it, you know. And you're like, I don't know, indie titles, they're all shit and I'm not going to buy them. And you're like, okay, you know, I get guys, like there's numbers that say that 70% or more than 70, I think it was 80% of stores don't order indie titles. You've got this 20% margin of stores that are, and those that do order them will order them heavy. Like on the West Coast, you got a lot of stores like that. You got, you know, stores here in Chicago and New York that'll say, yeah, like there was been some big stores that will embrace you and say, yeah, no, we love indie titles, you know, and they'll order them high. But yeah, and there's just more that will just be like, you know what, man, we'll wait for the trade.
Yeah.
Or we don't want to bother with it.
Right.
You know? We never get to that part of the catalog. They just, they're done.
I just remember when I was a kid, you know, there was like the first comic shop that popped up by me where I lived. A guy was a huge comic book fan. He knew what was coming out and, you know, you talk to him, that kind of thing. And you know, in the late 80s and 90s, all of a sudden, like six more comic book shops popped up in my neighborhood.
Sure.
And they were all
dick.
And they didn't know shit. And they were all assholes.
And some of them sold baseball cards.
Yeah, yeah, that, yes,
they were
most,
a mixture,
yeah.
And then it
became magic cards and Pokemon cards.
Right.
Those guys had no fucking interest in comic books. None. It was just jumping on the bandwagon. I still remember this redheaded prick that fucking opened a store.
The biggest
scam artist cocksucker you could ever fucking walk into a store and meet. Yeah. And I went in there once and I never went back. And he was just a prick.
And they treat you like shit. I mean, there are stores that yell at you. You ask him a question and they're like,
My first shop I ever went to was a combination sport cards and comic shop. And the
cock
guy,
rings? Did they sell cock rings?
Probably in the back. They never let the kids into the back room.
Oh, okay.
But it's a porno and cock rings in the back room.
The dirty cards.
That's probably where they made all their money. But it was funny because the guy that
Kindle
ran
Lure magazine.
The guy that what it was a satellite store from Carbondale, Illinois.
So the comic guy.
You know, there was two owners. There was a guy that ran the sports cards and the guy that ran the comic shop.
Right.
And they would like alternate. One of them would work in Carbondale, one would work in Marion, and then they'd switch back every day.
It's a great plan.
And so that sounds good. You knew not to go in there on the days when that the guy had, that ran the sports cards because he didn't know what the fuck was going on.
And worse than
buy Johnny Bench,
and he was miserable. He hated his fucking life from when he got up that morning. And he just, you know, Larry's Comics was like that. And this guy, you know, I don't want to mention any. Yeah, that fucking.
I will.
We don't give a shit. At Variety, you go in there and he yells at you. And I would go in there as a kid.
Blame me, he's not. I doubt if he owns a computer. And if he does, he's never heard of a podcast.
Listen, if I seen him at a con, I would kick his ass at this point. He was that mean to us as kids that were, you know, what are you guys doing here? You're not going to buy anything? Get the fuck out of here, you know.
In Green Bay, the shop I used to go to, there wasn't too many comic shops in Green Bay. I had the same thing in the 90s where a bunch popped up. And I remember one where whatever was new, you know, was cover price. And then the second it wasn't new, it mysteriously went up.
Doubled in price.
This guy just bought, I had no idea. That it was like,
I do this because they appreciate in value. So.
There's a local, there's a Chicago area store that I know that, I don't know if they still do this, but I know one time there'd be a hot issue that would come out, you know, variant cover, some shit, you know,
tons of those, yeah.
Right? It would come out.
Speculating.
But they wouldn't fucking put them on the shelves. They put like two on the shelves. Yeah. I'd walk in there on a Wednesday morning
at, you know, the minute they opened up, and they would have those bagged and boarded for, you know, $15 on the shelf.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Motherfucker, this just came out today.
Yeah.
How can you do that? You know, it's like,
and they didn't know anything about it. You'd ask them legitimate questions like, hey, you got anything by, and you mention an artist or a writer, like, oh, fuck, I don't read this shit. And they would just tell you right up.
Rots your brain.
Yeah. You'd be like, okay.
Wortham was right.
You know, all right, whatever.
Do you want to get involved in a hobby that's going someplace? Because I got a shit ton of cards in the back.
Yeah, yeah. He put all his money in beta or something. You know, at that point, you're just like, all right, fuck off.
Crowd howls for blood as two damaged warriors sacrifice flesh and bone in a perverse test of wills in Shigure Death Frenzy. Two legendary samurai share a long and violent past. Bitter rivals from the moment they locked eyes, these warriors inflicted wounds on each other that would have destroyed lesser men. As the final chapter of their saga unfolds, they must summon the strength for one last battle. A battle only one shall survive. Take home the Blu-ray and DVD on March 31st. Shigure Death Frenzy, the beauty is in the kill. Visit Funimation.com/Shigure for more details.
Any like baseball card podcasts?
I don't know.
What do you think do you think sports cards?
They took a huge dump. Yeah. You know,
they also fell prey to the same thing happened with comics. Yeah. The collectible market just got oversaturated.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I get guys that are like, oh, I got these old comics. And you're like, yeah, and they got like Spawn 1 through 10. And Spawn had a print run of like how many million? So what do you think that's going to be worth, you know, versus something that.
Well, you can't.
I had a friend of mine call me and ask me to go see another friend of theirs comic book collection. This guy, older guy, he had a huge collection, and wanted me to take a look at it and tell him what I thought it might be worth. So I go to this guy's house, and I'm not shitting you, it was one of the biggest comic book collections I've ever fucking seen. It was enormous, probably. I can't remember exactly the number, but I it was like 800 long boxes.
Oh, yeah.
More shit than I've ever seen in a store.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. It was basically this guy bought every fucking book between 1984 and 1997.
Yeah.
Every fucking thing that came out, and it wasn't
worth
it. Goddamn time.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I sat here and told it. I'm like, honestly, you'd be lucky to get a penny a fucking book for these things.
They buy it by the box.
Yeah,
Most guys I know who have comic stores now literally buy it by the long box. They'll go in and they'll go, we'll give you, you know, $25 a box.
Yeah.
And then you're lucky they'll buy it and they have it shipped in by the pallet.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how that stuff is because they made so much shit. I mean, Marvel went from 30-something titles to over 100 titles in the 90s.
And the print runs
The print runs were really insane. High, and there was a lot of speculative buying of these foil and variant and, you know, reach around covers and all this bullshit.
What did you feel? Were you excited at the time? Were you like, comics have arrived? Were you like, oh shit, this is gonna bust?
No, I was excited. I was working for an indie company at the time, and I was getting paid, you know, no money, and I was working in advertising, and I was working with Alex, and Alex.
That's right, you guys were at Leo, right?
Yeah, and Alex was getting his Marvel proposal got rejected like 3 times. So I thought, well, this fucking guy can't get hired. What am I doing here? You know? So he was back at Burnett. So I thought it was exciting because I thought, you know, that was when the Tim Burton movie came out. It was the late 80s, early 90s. And I saw the speculative buying. But I knew when we were in trouble when The Death of Superman came out and there was this huge line. at Haley's. I used to go to Haley's Comics over here on Lincoln, and I'm standing in line behind this lady. I was just trying to pick up my books, and she's got the book, and she goes, "I'm going to use this. I'm going to send my son to college."
Oh, no.
And I thought, we're in a lot of fucking trouble, you know.
Oh, you're
shitting
me.
That's what she told me. Yeah, she was going to, she thought the death of Superman.
Well, he may have taken it to college with him.
Yeah, yeah. But I was like, lady, you better use the black armband. Put it up your ass, because you're going to need it.
Because I remember the exact same thing. My dad knew this guy. He worked with this guy, and like at night he ran a little video store. And then, like, all of a sudden, yeah, I don't know.
I had a couple Armenian guys in my neighborhood where the
Puerto
store
Rican
was
guy
as,
or something,
the store was as big as this table, but yet he had the curtain with the beads, and you went in the back and you opened it up, and it was like fucking the end of Raiders, where they had like just rows of porn. It was just fucking porn forever in every language.
I'm sure I never went to the store. I don't know. I never saw it.
Yeah,
I just remember.
Sure. And I told him, put the orange cone when the gay shit starts, please. Because I've slipped into the gay section a couple of times where you see a cock going into an ear.
And that's when the other guy walks into the room. Right. And he's like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Right. And that's when you see some guy you used to work with. He's like, hey, you know, Sal's watching, you know, fucking Schindler's Fist. I saw him with, you know, Shaving Ryan's Privates. He was looking at the box. I'm like, cording that fucking section off, like at the airport. Yeah, like saying, there's where the gay shit starts. I only want to look at the other shit. I don't want the midgets and all that other bullshit.
But I remember him, like, my dad, who, you know, I read comics since I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And my dad's never showed an interest. I mean, the only interest my father ever showed in my comics was like making fun of the fact that his son read comics.
The only time he ever mentioned anything was when I used to read, I was a big Luke Cage guy because George Tuska drew it when I was a million years ago. And I had it on the dining room table and he picked it up and said, colored guy? He goes, there's colored guys in comics now? That was the only fucking
thing. What does the world come to?
Yeah, he's like, Jesus, colored guys in comics. And I was like, first of all, nobody says colored guy anymore. So, you know, my dad's like, oh, fuck it, they're in New York. Because, you know, it's all that crazy shit in New York.
Oh, no, it's New York.
Yeah,
I wonder.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But when the death of Superman, when that happened, my dad had come home with, like, copies from his friend that was selling, now he was selling comic books at his video store.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everybody was, but it was weird, like, you know, we talk about the 90s, we always talk about the 90s and the bus and everything, and it, to me, like, it's compressed. It seems like it happened in a week. Like, it was there was a huge speculation boom, and then it was done in, like, a week.
There were some guys, though, that made a lot of fucking money.
Oh, hell,
I mean, Dale Keown, I was talking with him up at Toronto last year, he made, like, $3 million off of Pit Number One.
Jesus.
And he opened a recording studio. I mean, he pissed it away as fast as he made it. Billy Tucci used to run around like the cock at a walk
money.
From She. You know, he's buying. He had like 20 motorcycles.
Yeah, a new motorcycle every semester.
Yeah, I mean, there were guys making serious money off those books.
McFarlane buying the $2 and $3 million
baseballs. McFarlane, I mean, if you got a print run of a couple of million.
What do you
think
those baseballs are worth now?
Oh, fuck. You
just got burnt.
Yeah.
McFarlane.
Well, you know, he's one of those guys that he was what McFarlane, what Todd did that was brilliant that the other guys never caught on with was he did one character.
Yeah.
And he licensed. Right, but he didn't fuck around because when you put out, when you go, wow, I'm making this much from one book, maybe I should do four other books. Yeah, but now if Wildcats is selling, and I only use Jim Lee as an excuse because he's a degenerate Asian gambler, like, you know, we know he is, but he's like...
We got confirmation on that after the podcast, by the way.
No, now if Wildcats is selling a million, and you got four other books that aren't, those three drag the other one down, so now that you're kind of uneven playing field, whereas Todd said, hey, look, Spawn is selling like crazy. I don't even have to draw the fucking thing anymore. It's just like a license to print dough. Because every issue, he was just getting these big checks. And when he went into toys, everybody could say now they thought it was a good idea. But at the time, fuck, they said he was crazy. When the Spawn toys first came out, they were, remember the ship sank, and they were floating ashore and all that bullshit?
Yeah, everybody was saying that.
Oh, he's crazy.
You can't do toys. Nobody's going to want these kind of super painted and high detail kind of stuff. They're too much money. Nobody's going to pay it.
Then that he got into the sports part of it.
He got in right at the right time because right when he wanted to buy it was when, was it Kenner or Mattel that used to have the Major League Baseball? They just let it lapse. They said, we don't want to do this shit anymore. And he dove in at the right time and said, no, we'll do it. And he hired, of course, I've talked to some sculptors he's worked and they said he was running a sweatshop and blah blah blah. But hey, I don't know.
Yeah. I got a wall.
What
full
do
of,
I know? I think they're great. Yeah, no, I bought a ton of that shit too. That I had awesome. To, you know, the Joe Green and all that other bullshit. And you got it, and you're like, what the fuck am I doing with it? Why did I buy Hank Aaron? What the fuck am I going to do with
color guy?
Yeah,
color guy's in football now.
No, it's like he's not even from Chicago. What the fuck am I going to do with another, you know, Benito Santiago fucking figure?
Drew Rizzuto.
He played for the Cubs for a half an hour, and I got his figure.
I always thought McFarland ended up being the one with seemed like the most sense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, no, and even with the baseball thing, the thing that everybody was crying about when he bought the baseball, how crazy he was, but you got to give him credit for one thing. He was on every fucking television show for 2 months, so he got like...
He got $10 million, $100 million.
He got millions, and not only that, people were like, "This guy's a comic book guy." Right. You know, people were like, "I thought they were like a bunch of fucking idiots." Those comic book guys, check out like Sal, and they got this guy. You know, granted, he should have had some whores with him on when he was at the MTV Awards and showing up with some, you know, some ass Christy Canyon or something,
Christy Canyon,
Paige Turner or somebody. You know,
he was Canadian, so you know, maybe a little shady.
But I think he also made the decision to, you know, stop drawing comics, and that will probably in the long run, I don't think that guy will ever draw another comic book, because for one, the expectation now is too high for Todd McFarlane to come back to comics and draw comics, and for two, he probably doesn't draw, I mean, he may draw as well as he did in the day, but that even that wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably hasn't evolved necessarily as an artist because he hasn't been
doing
it.
I gotta say, though, he's a sweetheart of a guy. I mean, honestly, his perception over the years sometimes with some people is that he's an asshole and stuff. I've met him, you know, like extensively several times, and he's the nicest fucking guy you'll meet. He really is. He only wants to talk sports or comics. But, you know, porn and food, you got to add those two in there, and I'm in. But no, he's a nice guy, and you could sit and bullshit with him. But the problem is, every time you try to talk with him, someone comes up to him and wants him to sign a fucking issue of, you know, Sam and Twitch or some bullshit. And he's like, now you can't just be a bunch of guys playing grab ass.
Right.
You know? But he's a nice guy. He really is.
What's his deal with Miracle Man? He got involved.
He owns part of it.
Him and Gaiman, they were fighting over one of the characters.
Still haven't resolved that whole thing.
Never going to get resolved. Yeah. Did you?
It's a mess.
Yeah. Did you hear about that eBay auction we were talking about on 11 o'clock this week?
No.
Some guy. Craziest thing. The binding of comic books. A lot of people do this. They'll get comics and they'll bind them, and you know, you can actually get pretty nice bound editions now. Yeah. And it'll cost you $75 like top end to get. Like the top line binding. Last week on eBay had a bound complete Miracle Man, which to have all the Miracle Man issues, you're looking $100-$200 maybe, $200,
$150 or something.
Yeah. Depends on the quality of
them. Yeah, and had them bound. They looked beautiful, nice binding job. Sold on eBay for over $2,000.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid. You got to be careful with shit though, because there's a lot of shilling going on eBay.
Oh, sure.
I mean, not that I know anything about it, but I know guys that do it. That where you just say, hey, you call up three of your asshole friends and say, hey, guys, bid on this. So I'm not saying that's what happened with this, but there are guys driving the prices of things up on eBay. And also, it's like, you know, that it's one of those. The price of those trays and things like that for Miracle Man have been high for a long time.
Yeah, anyway. That's an expensive book.
It's high, man. Yeah, I mean, you can collect them
all.
But
not $2,000.
No, well, it could have been. I don't know.
And you ruined them by binding them.
Get guys that they just want it and they don't give a shit. Yeah, they just say whatever and they throw it in. Like the leather bound version of Watchmen that Bob Chapman at Graffiti did, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, those, and those were signed by Gibbons and Alan Moore, and they were, like, out way before the Absolute shit even started. The Absolute, you know, thing. Yeah, so he had those, like, over 10 years ago, and he was selling them at the time for, like, $25 a piece, and now they're on eBay for, you know, $600,
Can't find a flag if I don't.
Well, I mean, you deal, and whenever you're not working on a topic, you deal in high dollar comic collectibles. I mean,
original artwork.
You know, original art, and you work with Angel, and you work with Alex, of course. Who else do you represent?
Primarily, it's the lion's share of everything I do is Alex Ross and Simone Bianchi and Bill Sienkiewicz.
Okay,
so it's those three guys. But I would say probably the 90% of everything I do is Alex Ross.
What's it like from A, working with that at conventions, and then what's the difference working away from conventions just through websites and phone and all that, being an art dealer?
70% of everything we do with Alex is on the internet, and it's overseas. It's European stuff. It's most of our clients, at least over the internet, and the high, really super high dollar items are Asian guys. Hong Kong, Malaysia. You know, that whole
part, degenerate gamblers,
Tokyo. Well, they're clients, so they're nice Asian gentlemen.
Oh, those guys,
nice Asian gentlemen.
No, Sal.
That choose to use their money for other things. And there's only really a couple of shows that are worth your time doing if you're selling originals, because there's a lot of great comic shows.
San Diego
obviously is probably by far the best comic show to buy art, because you got collectors and art dealers that come from all over
the
world.
It's a destination show because they know it's all going to be there. Yeah.
So there's,
it's like you're not going to be selling Alex Ross originals at Windy City Con. It's just,
well, you know, you get, for those types of shows, you got to kind of cater to your market. You got to cater to what it is. I mean, San Diego is one of those things where you have to invite clients and you cultivate relationships. And these are guys that spend, you know, over $10,000, and they've got enormous collections, right. art collections. They buy sculpture. They collect all kinds of shit. You know, but you know,
I mean, there's guys walking around at that convention with books of art that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
There's a lot of serious collectors.
Insane. What is a piece of like an original Alex Ross?
Say a JSA cover from here.
Alex's
the last
stuff
couple
can
years.
Go anywhere. Our stuff goes anywhere from $4,000 to $60,000 for originals. You know, anything from a cover to a big, you know, double page spread or a triple page. You know, depending on the characters, depending on the size, depending on the amount of work involved, and depending on, you know, what Alex, I sit down with Alex, I say, Alex, what do you think? And then we kind of go over it. And then it's also based on certain collectors. You know, certain collectors like certain, some guys characters are just all Marvel guys. Some guys are just all DC guys. Some guys are like, you know, don't care if it's a nice piece, they'll buy it. So it's kind of an eccentric crowd, you know,
right.
It's kind of like the same types of guys that buy antique cars and things like that.
You know. I mean, I know talking to enough, you know, artists, there's always the guys at cons that want like the weird, like, I want cat girl covered in glue kind of guy. Does Alex get those kind of requests?
Well, he doesn't really do.
He doesn't do private commissions anymore.
But you can get every imaginable. I mean, just some really sick shit. I mean, there's people that, you know, Bill Sienkiewicz will do commissions for. And, you know, he'll be working on something and he'll say, hey, can you come back and pick it up? And then the guy will come when Bill's away and I'll go, well, what are you picking up? And he's like, oh, yeah, Bill, do me a sketch or a commission. I'm like, well, you know, if he isn't here, you know, you can leave him. Which one is it? And he'll be like, well, it's the one of Mary Marvel with, you know, the worm guy, you know, fucking her. You're like, are you kidding me? Or MODOK getting blown by Vampirella or... Or, you know, anything you could, I mean, you're like, what? And you look at him, you're like, that's what you want?
I'm going to hang it in the living room.
Yeah, you know, I'm just really? Like, all I right, okay. You know, and just like, but a lot of artists won't do it. They'll tell him right out, you know what, I'm not doing that shit.
I talked to a friend of ours, I won't mention his name, but said that was one of the biggest reliefs for him, is that whenever he got to a point in his career where he didn't have to do that shit anymore.
Because a lot of these guys, I mean, most of the commission guys, probably 99% of them are great guys, but there's that 1% where you're just like, man, this is one scary dude, where they come up to you and you're like, well, what I really wanted was, you know, or I had
a bag of heads.
Yeah, no, just weird shit. You know, I would get the Captain Marvel bullshit where I would have guys that had the hots for Captain Marvel, and they would just stand around and stare at me like, "Well, you're Captain Marvel, aren't you?" I'm like, "No,
no.
I'm like a guinea from the North Side. I don't know where the fuck you got this idea. I'm Captain Marvel. You know, I stood in a costume for 2 hours and wanted to get the fuck out of there and go eat." So well, that makes me Captain Marvel. Then okay, but
going back to Alex, I've seen stuff of his now that they use this new kind of process where they're putting prints on canvas.
Yeah,
so it looks like it's painted. Are you involved with that at all?
No. See, that's you have to have the license for that. You have to have like people go, oh, Sal, you know, you're crazy. You should make posters and prints of all the stuff Alex does. And you're like, yeah, thanks.
That'd be great.
But yeah, like nobody thought of it before you.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit, Superman on a poster would be, and we could do sheets too. You know, and it's like you have to have the license for that. And Clampett Studios has the Warner license, and then Marvel won't sell out the license.
Okay.
So you have to. I mean, the Clampett Studios license went a couple years ago when the Warner stores closed, and it went for over, you know, a couple million dollars for that license. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And the Giclée stuff, it makes, you know, it looks like canvas, and then they've got museum quality stuff. So there's like five or six different process that you can make the things look really great. But that stuff has gotten crazy too. You know, it sells it for a couple grand now, and people yell at me, and I'm selling originals, and I'm like, guys, they're selling Giclées down the
prints, know, basically prints
for a couple grand, and you're selling your poster.
I think I saw the Superman one, the Alex Ross Superman. Mm-hmm. I think for $5,000 the print was, mm-hmm. you know, it was huge and framed and everything, but it was like $5,000 for the
print. And they're yelling at me, and I'm selling originals, you know. So it's like, hey guys, you know what? Whatever your thing is. You know, if that's what they wanted, they sell really well. They do a great job with them because the technology on those things has gotten tremendous. I defy a lot of people to even tell the difference from the original to the.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, you can almost see the brush strokes in there. Mm-hmm. They look fantastic.
Yeah.
Bill Sienkiewicz, he does commissions still.
It shows. I mean, you gotta kind of corner him and get on his list and say, hey, you know. Give him a bong and he'll do it for him. Bill does commission. Bill, you know, you got to catch him at shows. Bill goes in and out of being real busy from, you know, right now he's doing a lot of movie stuff and then but he really loves comics. So his first love is to always get back to doing comics.
Yeah, he was just inking some stuff. Rain in Hell, he was inking. Whenever you're going to shows and you're taking art for the people that you rep for, it's got to be kind of a crazy process of actually getting the art from point A to point B. Because that's a lot of money that is leaving your sight at times.
I take most of it on the plane with me. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff that I ship ahead with a guy who ships our stuff, and he takes it out in a semi and different things. But you got to kind of know what to just have to take a risk and insure it. And then there's other stuff you know that I absolutely bring it with me in my suitcase on the plane. You know, and even then, you know, there's no way to you can get your suitcase lost. But since 9/11, they won't let you take oversized portfolios on the airplane. Sure. They used to, you know, guys would carry portfolios under their arm, and I'm like, I bring this big, you know, I'm like the mother-in-law on Titanic. I got the big fucking steamer trunk and the car and all that bullshit.
Got your piano with you.
Yeah, bring the piano, my paintings. How fucking great is Billy Zane? He brought his mother-in-law on the fucking Titanic. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You know, hey, we're taking a vacation. I'm going to bring my mother-in-law.
Maybe he was planning on pushing her off.
I mean, she's looking at DiCaprio, who's been screwing whores, you know, in Paris, as the nice guy. This guy brought your fucking mother-in-law with you. That's the guy.
Mother-in-law. They weren't even married yet.
All right. This
future mother-in-law.
Right, got her own cabin and let her bring her car and her servants and all this bullshit. That's the one who needed to fucking be the first one out of the lifeboat. That bitch that was her mother. And you're bringing... And Billy Zane is the nice fucking guy. And you're going with DiCaprio, you know, painting whores all day. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with painting whores, you know. Screwing him in the back of my car. Can you imagine how pissed fucking Billy Zane must have been? You're fucking the guy in my car on a boat.
That I paid.
Yeah, you know what that smells like when you open that door?
I'm shipping that fucking car. Yeah. I paid for that car.
And when you open the door between the fish and the seawater and the fresh fucking smell, I mean, you'll never get that car to smell right again. I mean, that's just one of those, just fucking sell it. Because you get in, every time you get in, and it smells like Leonardo DiCaprio fucking wrote his name on the seat. And you know, it was those old velvet seats, you know, where shit just,
you, get that
you had
smell
to scrape
out,
it off like
you
fucking,
steam that
be like dried clam chowder, for Christ's sake. But that's, DiCaprio.
Damn sea air sets that shit in.
DiCaprio should have had taken a fucking bullet right there, I'm telling you. Put the fucking necklace around
that's
his
neck. That's another man's car
in the fucking,
on a boat.
Yeah, how the fuck? do you take the mother-in-law with you? I saw it and I go, that's it, I'm done. I can believe the part about the always hang on and all that bullshit.
He was courting her. He was courting her. He was trying to convince her.
On my best day, I don't bring my mother-in-law on vacations. On my best
day. Well, you, sir, are no Billy Zane. That's all I can say.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. And they need Billy Zane out to be the bad guy, you know, because he was with the detective and all that. I would have fucking strapped his ass to the pipe and let him drown, too. You know,
$10 million
fucking in my car? I had a 72 Cutlass, and if you drank in my car, I would fucking kill you.
It was really just the whole car thing that threw you over the edge on this.
And it was on a boat.
You fucking my car, my girlfriend, or anybody. You could fuck a stranger in my car. Fuck Todd McFarlane in my car, and you'll never speak to me again. Never. I will have you fucking assassinated, and I kid you not. I'll use the money from that necklace to have you fucking snuffed out. I mean, I will have hitmen from all over the world coming in looking for your artist ass.
So you had a 72 Cutlass, huh?
I had a 72 Cutlass.
I had a 76 Cutlass. Oh, great. Loved
cars.
That car.
Great cars.
Oh, I fucking loved that
car. I had the Pioneer Super Tuner.
Very nice.
With the AC/DC tape and Jay Giles band.
Mine had a boat shifter, bucket seats, the boat shifter.
I had the bench seat, but I had 4-barrel carb. I wanted the 442, but I didn't have it. But
no.
That car, I'm telling you, 50 below zero, you turn the fucking key, it would start right up. You know.
I blew the engine out of mine.
Did you?
Yeah.
Super Dog racing down Cicero?
Yeah, racing down fucking Milwaukee? You know?
That's a story for another day.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll be serious.
I missed that.
I tell you what, you want to do some emails? We're at about an
hour. Sure. What's I got some emails.
You good to stick around for a second one tonight?
Absolutely. Where am I going to go? Nobody loves me.
Well, we kept you here until about midnight, 1 o'clock in the
morning.
That's
okay. Last time, no, I don't got a paper out tomorrow. All right,
just let me know whenever you need
another beer. This guy's got a curfew. The tax man's got a curfew.
Tom's
here.
Out of it.
Tom, what happened to you? It's a pigeon.
He's been working.
Still set over the pigeons.
I'm thinking about whether I should take the same route.
As the pigeons?
Just collide with another pigeon in midair.
Oh, now you think that's what it was. You think it was the midair collision.
I think all four of them ran into the same spot and then fell all together. Yeah.
All right. No Bigfoot. Email is from Will.
Not the guy with the tattoos again.
No. This is from Will. He said, hey, Around Comics, how is it going? My name's Will. I'm a new listener to AC. I started on episode 219 when I heard that Uncle Sal was going to be on the show. I just had to listen in. I'm not a member of the AC forum yet, but I'm on the comics forum known as Mr. Bickle. I just wanted to say I really like your show. I look forward to it every week. The three of you guys put on an awesome show. I've only been out to Chicago once last year around this time. I went to Chicago Comics, nice place. Had a lot of old style while I was out there. Missed that beer.
Oh, God.
We don't have any here in New
Bickle,
York.
Don't drink old style. No. That's like someone pissed in a glass.
It's like being in St. Louis and drinking Busch.
It's like someone strained it through their pantyhose. It's not good beer.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's about it for me. Keep up the great work, and can't wait to hear the next episode.
Well, welcome, Will. You've definitely cultivated some fans because of appearances on podcasts, on Comic Geek Speed, and hopefully through it. Has your convention experience kind of changed a little bit with the people that kind of almost feel like they know you a little bit?
A little bit. Sometimes, I mean, it's your guy's show. You know, I mean, it's great that you guys have me on, and I'm always glad to do it. And this is why I got into comics. It was just guys sitting around bullshitting. But no, it's nice. It's surprising at shows you get people coming up to you and saying, "Hey, I heard you on," you know, blah blah. And you know, it was like, no, I think it's cool. It's helped the book. I've had people who ordinarily would never have heard of Atomica or ever picked it up say, "Hey, I picked it up just out of curiosity, and I liked it," which is, that's to me is the coolest thing about it. You know, and if I can get on here and, you know, and talk shit about people. You
know. So comics.
People like it. It's cool. I'm sure they saw me every day. They never stop vomiting, but you know, once in a while, it's
nice.
Good.
Well, I know we've got a lot of listeners in the Pacific Northwest. So if you're out at the Emerald City Comic Con, which I definitely suggest going to that show, drop by and see Sal and tell him you heard him
and
on the show.
Thank you guys again for having me.
Oh, shit. Sure. Anytime,
it's your
man.
Show. Anytime. Yeah, but it's your show. You know, it's like people are like, oh, you should be on every week.
Much to it.
I'm like, it's not my show. Be on every week. What the fuck?
Like you know? Join our sad caravan.
Yeah, like, no, you really want to. Should be on every week. You know, I should.
It sounds good. It's kind of like joining the circus, and then whenever you're out back shoveling the elephant shit, all of a sudden it's not so
is
awesome.
Is that what it is?
The show's like shoveling elephant shit.
This will be the last time.
You guys are having a good time. I listen to the show when I'm not on. You guys are always having a good time.
We do. We have a good time.
We have fun. We have fun.
Hey, if we weren't, we wouldn't be doing it. 3 years.
Else would I be doing,
how's it
right?
going, though? You got, it's been 3 years?
A little over 3 years.
Oh, and you do it every week.
No. Well, we used to do four. What, we used to do 8 shows a month. Oh, we used to do 2 shows a week.
Yeah, 2 a week.
We would record 2 shows every Friday. Now, we kind of got our sanity back, and we record every other Friday. We record 2 shows, and so we have a weekly show now, but we only record twice a month. So.
Cool. No, it's good. I mean, the podcast thing is people like, oh, everybody's got a podcast. But it's like, yeah, but, you know, everybody's, you know, got an asshole, too. Doesn't mean that it's worth it, you know. But then there's, you know, Carmen Electra's ass, and then there's my ass. So you guys, you gotta everybody.
Which one are we?
The Carmen Electra. I was getting to Carmen Electra. No, I mean, I had guys coming up to me the last, at New York, I had a lot of guys coming up that listened to your show and were big on it and thought it was, hey, it's fun and blah, 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 and, you know, swear more and talk about you know, cocks and balls and things like that.
That's our biggest request, more cock and balls, more shit stories.
Yeah. Everybody likes the shit stories.
Who measures their cock?
I'm telling you, you could tell that shit happens in a heartbeat.
No, I was just, I was talking to a guy in New York and he was arguing with me and I said, listen, every guy on the planet at one time or another in his life has measured his cock. I mean, that's what guys do. And the only argument was where you start. I start back at the taint. I think you could start at the asshole, get a couple, 4 more inches out of it. And he said, no, you got to start at the belly button. But I'm thinking, every guy on the planet at one time or another has broken out a ruler and measured his cock.
Or a measuring tape.
Am I right? Am I right or am I wrong? Or am I crazy?
Guess
what guys do. Guys do shit like that.
I'm gonna say taint.
I start about the middle of my back.
No,
you gotta get a running start.
Yeah, you gotta get momentum going because you know you can when you're gonna play balls deep, you can go that way and get a few extra inches out of it.
It counts. It all counts. That's where I'm starting from. Goddamn.
And I got the standard Army issue, so I need an extra inch and a half or two. There's a big difference between, you know, 60 horsepower and 65 horsepower. There's an extra, that extra 5 horsepower goes a long way.
When you need it.
When you need it. You never know when you're going to meet a Puerto Rican broad or something who's going to go off one of those Filipino crazy women, and you got to, you know, they'll fucking kill you.
When you need it. I think we just found the title for the show.
We grew up in the city. I went to high school with Puerto Rican and Filipino girls. Those girls, you got to fuck them in a headlock. They are crazy bitches. Are fucking crazy, and so I need that extra inch and a half, or whatever.
Need
I can
everything
get.
You can get.
I'm not the tripod like this guy here.
Whatever sort of leverage.
And if it builds as an urban legend, I don't care. Hey, I'll perpetuate it.
Sure,
They got pills for that now, Sal.
Yeah, call them tripod. I don't give a shit. You know.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'll be serious. The show just fucking dived right into the
This one is from Rock Valancourt. Valancourt? Valancourt.
Little Lord Fauntleroy School of Boys.
Rock Valancourt.
It's
hi, fellas. I'd like to follow up on Carrie's email from a few episodes back regarding Hero at MegaCon.
Oh, good.
I was a volunteer working at the Hero booth when his raffle tickets were drawn. He looked so happy to have his numbers pulled. Funny thing is, one of my raffle tickets were pulled right after his for a sketch by Dan Jurgens. I got a sweet mug shot of Dr. Faustus. Later that day, Humberto Ramos was also sketching 10 pieces at the Hero booth. After he was all done, he sketched a Captain America headshot on a Secret Invasion number one sketch cover for Hero. I was fortunate to still be working the booth when he got done, so I was able to purchase the sketch right away from Hero. I spent a lot of money at the Hero booth this year, but it's for a great cause. I also recently signed up for their bronze membership and received an awesome Jim Valentino sketch card of Hawkman.
Sweet.
Thanks for the great podcast, guys. I enjoy listening to you at work. And please tell Tom he chose an awesome logo for his podcast. The one I sent him was pretty lame compared to the one he chose.
I hope it wasn't one of the creepy ones that I got.
Did you get some creepy ones? Like
the cock and balls?
Yeah. No, really?
No, there was no cock. Anything involving a real picture of me immediately
ended. Yeah, was it wasn't like you had a column in the Tribune, a Mike Royko shot? Yeah. Or was it the Dominic's instant winner shot by the door?
Any photo of me is more of a... Definitely a Dominic's instant winner.
Yeah. Okay.
I always look surprised.
The prom shot with your chin on your fist, you know, that
glamour
yeah,
shot.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Good. I liked it.
Well, I guess this is a good time to remind everyone about Hero. I won't go through the whole spiel. You know how great it is. Go to heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. And once again, if you're going to Emerald City, they will be there. Make sure that that Hero table is the first one you go to. Great sketches, great cause. And
good guys.
Yep. Good people.
It's a good cause. Absolutely. I mean, you got a lot of guys. I shouldn't say a lot, but you got some guys that were from the era of comics that I really got into, like, the Gene Colan and, you know, George Tuska, and you got a lot of those guys that are getting up there now, and it's like, I'm so glad we still got them around at a lot of cons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad to see Hero is, you know, going to bat for these guys.
Hero you know? Did a lot of good for Steve Gerber before he passed away. And Steve
Mike
was...
Mike Grell, too, wasn't it? Or Cockrum? Who am I thinking of?
Cockrum.
Cockrum, my God.
Yeah, I think Grell's still alive.
I was thinking of Cockrum, because Cockrum was my hero with that X-Men stuff. The Legion of the Superheroes, when he was doing them. Yeah. He made the Legion. He wanted to fuck every one of them.
It's like...
Those costumes he gave those broads in Legion in the 70s, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And everybody was getting laid. I'd read it, I go, when did people in comics ever get laid when Stan Lee wrote it? Never. Now they got the blue broad, she's getting laid, the karate guy's getting laid,
Whenever you're talking character designs, there's like Alex Toth, Jack Kirby, and Dave Cockrum.
Cockrum drew them fucking awesome sexy outfits, designs. Man.
Well, he was just an awesome character designer, though. Great character
designs. I'm telling you, I wanted to give it to everybody in the Legion.
Men and women.
Timberwolf was that fucking Asian guy, but the other ones I wanted to stick it to.
But then you got the ultimate whenever he came out with Triplicate Girl.
You gotta love
that. That's just a fantasy right there.
I'll beat a baloney.
Here's one. Dear Around Comics, I just read Final Crisis. I don't get what this is all about. Oh, wait. What this is a boot.
Oh,
at
it's
all.
Canadian.
Oh, it's the Canadian.
The only part of it I could enjoy was...
Surprised you got hit in the head with a puck.
Surprised you can read.
The only part
Canadian
of it
education.
I could enjoy was when they showed Aquaman riding a seahorse. So what was your favorite part of Final Crisis? Also, why did they bring Barry Allen back? Didn't they just bring Wally back? Or did this happen because a doped-up European wrote this? Thanks, and if you could read this email in a snake voice, that would be great. In a snake voice? You should have told me that beforehand. Mike from Ontario, Canada. So, favorite parts of anyone?
Takitani.
Takitani.
I liked, I think it was the end of issue 3 when it had all the new Furies with Catwoman and Wonder Woman and Giganta. That scene where it was like evil has won and you saw the new Furies. I thought that was pretty sweet.
If you cannot enjoy a foppish tiger in a suit who can talk, then just stop reading comics because you have no sense of humor and you should get involved in sports card collecting.
I like the part of the letter where he's drive the Europeans out of comics, out of American comics. We should start next to the Hero booth, we should have that booth of driving these
red, white, and blue comics.
That's right. Drive these European fucks right out. I'm telling you, every one of them. Start with the guy that shits his pants and work your way down. I'm telling you. If you haven't been in this country at least 3 years, you can't fuck around.
Get the hell out.
Stay Stay away from our comics, I'm telling you. Alan Moore gets a pass because he's grandfathered in because I like
him. Well, he doesn't want anything.
Yeah, but that's all right. We'll do like the Nuremberg trials and just fucking kidnap him and bring him over here like Eichmann. You know?
Just say fuck him. We've been Alan Moore in a compound in Nevada where he's writing comic books as we speak.
That's it. He's like Hannibal Lecter.
Tom would want us to kidnap Garth Ennis and have him write war comics.
War comics
forever.
Yeah. Every one of those fuckers should go, I'm telling you. The whole island.
My favorite part of Final Crisis? The end.
The end.
It's over.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Well, it's not. It's not Final Crisis Legion of Three. Three worlds.
Yeah, whatever.
It's actually been delayed, and I like the book.
Lend lease is the two words I got for the UK. Without lend lease, they'd be fucking eating strudel and goose stuff. Yeah. Right now, it fucking right down Piccadilly. I'm telling you, and they never even said thank you. I might add, they never even said, "Hey guys, you saved our ass. You pulled fucking
now they're ruining our comics.
You pulled English chestnuts out of the fire. Now Sal can't get fucking arrested because everybody in the UK is like, oh, he's not from England. You know, he can't draw comics. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll be serious. Now they got talking. Tigers and all this other bullshit. American fucking comics, I'm telling you. Bring back Devil Dinosaur and the Demon. The Demon, Devil Dinosaur, Big Barda. We need more American. I'm sorry.
They were all Jewish.
By American.
That's okay. Really, they're American.
Is that American?
Yes, they're American.
By American.
Yes.
American. Everybody's American.
All right.
You know, it's like they gave us Great Deli. So, you know.
Great. Throw David Price out of the country.
Yeah, well, you know.
Or they could take the test. You got to. I'm going to show you five pictures. You can't tell me who the fuck these are. You're out. Charlie's Angel, Starsky and Hutch. You can't tell me the
name. Chico and the Man.
Chico and the Man. Yeah. You can't tell Chico me. You can't tell me the fucking two colors.
What is Coretta's parrot's name?
Yes. No. Easy stuff. Yeah. Name three game shows.
It's like Mount
shit like that.
Mount Sal.
I'm not fucking around. I am so fucking sick and tired of everybody in comics. You go to these cons and they'll name all these guys, and I'm like, now one of those fuckers is from America. You don't see us going over there and fucking with their comics. Stay the fuck in Europe, is what I'm saying. More Americans.
Jeff Johns. He's American.
Same shit. All of them.
He's a secret European.
How many Europeans have done covers for Atomic?
Oh, fuck, it doesn't matter. I'm just, that's besides the point. I'm not saying that he'll do good work. I'm just saying we need more Americans. Yeah. And just to show that I'm not biased, start with the Italians. Start with Simone Gabrielle, Claudio. Start with all those fucking guys. Out.
They're good.
I'll meet him at customs and go out.
Turn him
around. If Dave Givens does a Dr. Manhattan for me, he might be able to.
That get he's him. Okay.
Well, he can be on permit for a while.
Neil Gaiman's been here for like a while, hasn't he?
Oh, he's lived in the States forever.
Yeah, he's almost like.
Start with him if you want.
He writes more books now.
He's on the list. You gotta
he's a novelist.
Yeah. He is a novelist.
He's actually credible. He was on NPR this morning, I think.
Okay. Yeah, well, so was the Octomom, so
We got any more?
We got one last one.
Or we want to save it for next week?
I don't care, whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll save it for next week.
Okay, I'll save it for next week.
All right.
You ran long.
Let's wrap this one up. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who has given us iTunes reviews in the last couple of weeks. We had a rush of iTunes reviews. We're over 300 now. Thank you so much. Let's get
Are we going to yell at anyone for the reviews? Or is that a one-time... Drink too much of the bottle. I do another podcast.
Yeah. And I got a little drunk the other day. And
no.
Yeah.
I think someone needs to take a step away sometimes.
Wait a minute. What's the other podcast? Personally, are you talking about fishing or what's your other one?
It's another comic book podcast. He doesn't get enough here.
Okay.
And actually, I wanted to talk to you about how you represent Around Comics while you get drunk on that other podcast. Yeah.
It's not good for the
brand. What's the other podcast?
The father company here, if you will.
It's called 11 O'Clock Comics.
Oh, okay.
And it's a slightly different side of me. I'm able to relax a little bit.
It's mostly lunatics.
Yes, it's pretty much.
It's like people talking about Bigfoot and like
aliens,
European comics, yeah. and like pretty much like weird phone calls from Europeans.
Oh, you take phone calls
and their form. It's really weird.
This kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. There's nothing wrong with that shit. It's a different. You know, when I do mocha, it's all that kind of stuff. Sure. It's just anything you can imagine. An ape too.
The 11 o'clock comics forum is like 90% lolcats and 10% emoticons. I can't follow what's going on in that place. I check in and it's like people winking at each other. When does this go on?
Is this, do you need like a secret password to get into this?
I'll send you a link.
It's just not very popular.
It's pretty popular. Yeah. It's every Friday it usually comes out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can start your week with me on Monday, end it on Friday.
I don't know how anyone would want to listen. You know what? I should sell my job at work because all you do is talk to me all day about this shit, and people seem to can't get enough of you. I don't understand it myself.
Work with Chris for a day.
I think I might have to do that to some 11 o'clock. There's got to be one of those 11 o'clock comics listeners that would,
they don't have jobs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
All right, anyway, back to our iTunes reviews. Here's half of you that reviewed in the last week. All Hail Starro, Cash Wheel, Skits Box, Clyde, Zen Master 2525, Splitting Atoms, and Call Me Rotten. So thank you guys so much. It's a great way to help promote the show, so really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can drop by our forum, Less Tin Hats, Emoticons, and LOL, Lolcats at the AroundComics.com forums. You can follow all of us on Twitter. Are you tweeting that, Sal?
I tried it, but I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. Yeah. I mean, I put up three tweets.
That doesn't matter.
I tried on Nobody Facebook. Else does. I put up pictures of my car.
Do you ever have like random thoughts that no one in the world would ever be interested in hearing?
Not really. Me, no one gives a shit.
You'd
be fucking surprised. Yeah.
I tried the other one, but not Facebook, the other one before.
MySpace.
All I got was porn advertisements. Then I went on MySpace. It's nice. Every asshole I borrowed money from in high school fucking goes, "Hey, Sal," Or ex-girlfriends that I thought were dead or killed themselves from humiliation or were degenerate fucking alcoholics. They all go, "Hey, look at me." And everybody got fat and everybody's bald. And I'm like, I didn't want to see you assholes when I was in high school. Now I really don't want to know what the fuck you're doing. So Facebook is nice, but every time I get on there, somebody like instant me. Hey,
send you a beer.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't want to talk to this guy.
Wants you to plant flowers in their garden or something.
Bullshit. Yeah, it was nice. On my birthday, I got all these birthday things from people I didn't know, and they're all foreign. So I was like, no, I'm not lending any of you fucks money. But, it was nice. Everybody's nice on there. And there's a lot of comic people on there.
Oh, yeah.
On there? It's for the young kids.
We do it because
whippersnappers.
It's good for comics. I mean, I talk to some people in comics on there. It's nice. It's good.
The Twitter's
it seems
fun.
To...
In between porn sites, it fits right in. Breaks up the monotony of...
Well, you can probably follow a lot of those porn sites on Twitter.
Can you?
Probably. I would say it's the new hotness.
You gotta love it.
You can follow John Suntress on Twitter.
Hey, hello. I was mistaken as John. Somebody asked me if I was John Suntress today.
Yeah,
guy came in. Are you John Suntress?
He's got that fucking voice.
I'm not John Suntress.
He's got that voice. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's got the radio.
He probably sounded like a radio guy when he was 5 years old.
Hello, I would like some more Bosco, please. If at all possible.
All right. Remember to check out Tom versus the Flash on his podcast as he runs you through the history of DC Comics one issue at a time. We already talked about 11 o'clock comics.
Yeah.
Check out iFanboy.com. And I'd like to say that we're above.
Why check out iFanboy.com?
Well, we're above feuding.
Listen, I don't pay attention to ants walking down the streets.
When in doubt, take them outside and kick the shit out of them. That's how it works.
I'd like to thank them for saying such nice things about Tom versus the Flash.
I don't even know who you're talking to.
All right, I'd like to thank Sal Avenatti, as always, and you'll be back on next week's show.
If I can't fuck with the guys I actually know, Jesus.
Exactly. That's what strong enough to
just call everybody an asshole and you don't got to worry.
And yeah, busy night in here tonight. I want to thank everyone that came by. Ted and Dave Scarzi and Jose Jen Santarelli and Chris Burnham. And,
you can thank them after the show's over.
John Centris. So if you're in Chicago on a Friday night, see if we're recording. And Mr. Mark Beatty, as always, for hosting us here at Beautiful Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Have a great rest of your week.
I don't
and
even
weekend.
Know. What did the iFanboy guys even say? I don't even know.
Ah, they're just talking shit.
Oh,
funny.
They said so, I was awesome and that you guys sucked balls.
Well, I could have told them that.
There's a little bit of truth
guys,
to all
guys,
this.
Guys, can we watch The Language?
Oh, I don't know. For the kids. For the kids.
All right. Everyone have a great rest of your week and weekend. Comics. I'll be in Mexico.
Oh, I might again. To Mexico.
We'll I can't wait till the fucker leaves.
We'll be back again next Monday with an all-new episode. In the meantime.
Then I'm going to have to hear it for a fucking week and a half afterwards how great Mexico was.
Oh, Mexico is awesome.
I hope he catches a rash
listen,
or something.
Everything that it happens in Mexico doesn't stay in Mexico. Trust me. Crabs, herpes, that shit comes with you. Believe me. Don't come back with crotch crickets. We don't need that shit on the show.
Have crabs will travel.
That's right.
All right.
Don't throw toothpicks in the urinals. The crabs can pole vault.
You'll probably try and smuggle back some comic book artists.
Humberto Ramos lives
careful.
In Mexico.
That's how Angel Medina got in.
No, Mexico City.
He snuck back.
Angel Medina came in a pile of back issues of Eternals.
It's my goal to not be a mule on the way back.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'll be serious.
We'll be everywhere in and around comics.
You should flash a lot of cash while you're not in Mexico. It'll get you places.
A lot of dark sink basement
places. Just be careful you don't get torsed. You'll burn faster. The intensity of the sun is hot.
You look like you can,
though, Chris. But when you first go out of here, your body goes to the shock. But you are under my wheels, honey. Why don't you let me be? Cause when you call me on the telephone, say, take me to the show.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.